Hey there, Shopping Maniacs. You're listening to another episode of the Bricklayer Show. I'm Dave in the shed. Paired with me is Chris in the office. Quayer. Hey, Chris, how are you doing today?
That's right. We come from a long line of people who make rectangles and then put them on top of other rectangles, which used to mean building buildings and now means building websites.
Yeah. And we also have this weird cult-like apparatus where we do like bespoke rituals, wear funny hats, and drive tiny cars.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Anyway. For the kids out there, you have no idea what Dave's talking about. But
what's a Shriner?
Who's Google Zor?
Okay,
fine. We have Adam on too, old friend of the show, Adam Ariel from the Google. Hey, how you doing, Adam?
I am totally the real Adam. This is not an Adam bot. I'm not automated. This is the real Adam. He's here in person.
The nice thing about Adam is
to train AI.
He puts enough content online. We can just automate his whole entire deal. So it's totally. Just great.
Deep fake. Like,
build an AI bot of a skater boy who's super chill and knows a bunch about CSS.
I did try making a bot, or I tried seeding Gemini with all sorts of good CSS, because every time I ask Gemini for CSS, which is like the new Bard or whatever, anyone who doesn't know what Gemini is, I'm like, hey, Bard or Gemini, make me a cool carousel. And it's like, here, I have confidently given you something that's broken. And I'm like, dang it. It's full of garbage, and it's using physical properties. I'm like, hey, can you refactor that? Use logical. Anyway, I've been trying to make a CSS bot that's like kind of good. It's really hard. It's not working.
Does that mean you have to do, what's the thing where you train it a little more? Fine tuning or something? So you take a model and then you give it a bunch of more crap that's along the lines of what you want?
Yeah, we're preseeding it. So I had three years of GUI challenges, which was pretty modern CSS throughout the whole thing. You know, used nesting, used logical properties. So we just gave it 3 years of content. And then I'm like, okay, every time I ask you a CSS question, reference all of this material and use it to inform your CSS output decision.
No dice? Or what?
It's not slightly great. Better.
Don't
but
you
I mean,
get like
yeah,
the super good Gemini model too? Isn't there like four levels of it or something? You'd think you'd get the
Gemini Pro 1,000,000 tokens.
Right. So even your 4 years of content is still under that limit, or is fine tuning different than
it was
token
over the
usage?
Limit when we first did it, but now it's under the limit once they raised it to 1,000,000. I feel like you have to say million and roll the L or whatever.
That's a lot of tokens.
That's a lot of tokens.
Well, that's too bad. I assume it will get there, though. Doesn't that seem like the general vibe of Bay right now? Is like,
no.
It's pretty cool, but just wait. No? You're done with the just wait?
I'm doing scroll snap points right this minute, and there's no friggin' way it's going to figure this out.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I also think I just use Gemini because it's the one that has the longest cookie length. Like the chances of me hitting that website and still being logged in is high. Every time I go to GPT-4, I'm logged out. And I'm like, well, too bad then. Set your cookie longer.
That's funny.
Maybe I'll use you. But we're here to talk about grid layout, or kind of. We're talking about web layout. It happens to be a little bit of a spicy time. Jen Simmons, on behalf of Apple, wrote a blog post on the webkit.org blog, which is kind of like the Safari blog, I guess. Which said, like, help us invent masonry layouts for CSS grid level 3. So everybody needs, who's going to listen to this show, we're probably going to talk about mostly this the entire show long, because it's interesting, it has drama, it involves huge companies, there's a little bit of headbutting, even though you have to read behind the lines to even see that. It's interesting, and it has to do with the spec. And people need to visually understand what we're talking about, too. It's often referred to as the Pinterest-style layout to this day, and, you know, for a decade at least of Pinterest existence, they use this style. So it's like there's columns with straight column lines, but there are no row lines. The things that fall into those contents just are as tall as they are. So there is no horizontal lines that you can see. Some people use the word masonry to describe that. That's thanks to David DeSandro. He made a JavaScript library. He called it masonry, and it required JavaScript to pull off that layout. I would credit him entirely for the name of it, because it's just people needed a name. He put a name to it, made this great JavaScript library to pull it off. End of story. You know, it was weird even then. And I'm intentionally going to attempt and probably fail to not say the word masonry too many times in this, because it may not be how it is finally in the spec. And it's kind of funny because masonry, as Dave's joke went, is like, we're talking about it kind of looks like a brick wall, how the bricks are offset from each other. But it doesn't really. It looks like a brick wall turned 90 degrees, which is not really masonry anymore. Masons don't lay bricks like that. That's not what masonry is. So that's just my little thing. Like, why would you codify into language something that's wrong? You know, you're like, I'm not into it. But hey, you know, if it ends up that way, it's not like I'm going to cry about it. I just do think it's like, since we're here, maybe we talk about it, you know? So this is what happened, is that years and years and years ago, Mozilla just threw it in. You know, they're like, that's cool. We're just going to throw it behind a feature flag. And we're going to make it part of the grid spec, which nobody agreed to at the time, but it seemed to make some kind of sense to somebody. And the way that you do it is you set up grid template columns, right? And then for grid template rows, you put a keyword there, and the keyword was masonry. And what it did effectively is it just turned off rows. So if you think about a grid, there are vertical lines that are straight, and there are horizontal lines that are straight. They both exist and they're both straight. And what masonry does basically just turned off the horizontal lines. There are no rows anymore. They're literally not numbered. There's nothing. You can't pick which row you want something to be on. They're just irrelevant now. And instead,
no
it
lines,
just placed everything.
No gods. No lines, no gods.
No gods. And then people use it. And I used it. And I put it in conference. I was like, look at this. My card layout that just makes this grid of cards. Well, it's arbitrary content inside. The images are of different aspect ratios. The length of the paragraphs are different. And yet they fall into this Pinterest-style layout that's pretty cool. And all I did was golf clap and say, that's neat and fun. And I had no particular feedback on it. But now the rubber's hit the road. Now it's about to hit the specs and stuff. And people are really actually looking at it. And what Mozilla did is largely irrelevant now. It was just an experiment to see. And nobody was mega, mega into it, I feel like.
It was behind the flag. Yeah. And there were also ideas kicked around, I think like Adi Asmani even, right? Who had kind of proposed like, maybe we try this in Houdini and stuff like that. And
there
so
was
like there's
working Houdini implementations of it too, but now
there was, the layout worklet.
Oh, wait, layout worklet, which is blast from the past.
I hate to use the word dead, but it's dead, right? There's no layout worklet.
I don't know what Houdini's situation is. Maybe Adam has intel, but it's
time to like get this thing into the spec, right? So Apple was first to swing here. There's a post on the WebKit blog by Jen Simmons who writes this long article about, you know, hey, give us feedback on this. And Jen pretty strongly argues is a weird word because it's kind of like an argument is one side of a two-sided thing. And I'm like, I feel like it should be this way and not this other way. But basically it says this masonry type thing, or we'll call it waterfall or grid rows off or something, because again, don't love the word, but should be in grid layout like it kind of already was in Mozilla. And she's like, there's so many reasons for this. One of the reasons is, well, you can have columns of different sizes. How cool is that? You know, and there's some beautiful demos showing off that. And the thing is just loaded with demos. I mean, it's tempted. I wish everybody listening to this would just read the entire post word for word, because I feel like it has an effect on you. You know, I read the whole thing, and at the bottom was like, please, please, please give us feedback, which I happily did and wrote a blog post with my feedback on the thing. But I feel like she knocked it out of the park with demos. I'm like, I want all this stuff. I want every one of these demos to be possible, particularly the ones that feel really weird. Like, imagine this one that's like on the very leftmost column is really narrow, and then the next column over is a little bigger, the next column over is a little bigger. And then you're like, well, I've never seen that on the web. That's such a cool, unique look that I've never kind of thought to pull off. And now that I've seen it, I love it and I want to do it. So the way that panned out is, you know, that was, I guess, on April 19th, and it's May 2nd as we write this. And my feedback was like, hell yeah, you know, again, golf clap. Love it. Want to see it. Let's go, you know. And then it didn't really argue against anything else. There wasn't another way to do this. It was just nodded at that maybe another way would be display: something else that's not grid. And the word again is masonry. But it was like, what if there's a display masonry instead? But it didn't go into like what that would be like then. So it was kind of just like, you know, at least my emotion at the time was, yeah, rock and roll, Jen, let's do it. Grid sounds good. Sounds like you've thought a lot about this or whatever. But then, you know, I didn't dig into whatever the potentially years of conversations on GitHub or whatever that probably had more information about what that other thing was. So we didn't really know what the, at least I didn't know what the other side was saying. What is display masonry actually like? Is there a really kind of fleshed out idea that is not putting this thing in grid? And Rachel Andrew, on behalf of Google, says, yes, there is another way. Yes, you're right. It is display masonry, and it's a totally different layout type, and it can do every single thing that's in Apple's post, the demos that Jen put together. It can do all of that stuff. It is not incapable of doing that stuff, and that there are advantages to doing it there. So I feel like I shouldn't dig into every single detail because we have lots of different stuff to talk about, but that's where we're at, and that's what feels like drama because it's like, these are two of the biggest companies in the entire world, you know, and they're not competing on phones this time. We're talking about, you know, rectangles on a website, but it feels like fun head clashing. And nobody's being rude or anything, but you can just read between the lines. You're two posts back to back like this with strongly different opinions. That's about as spicy as it gets. I'd say
nerd spice,
and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I don't even know where to start. Why don't you get first thoughts? The first stuff that pops to mind, Adam. Where are you at on this stuff?
Yeah, dude. So I wrote in 2020. My thoughts on it was I was like, hey, I love masonry. I've implemented this type of design many times for various clients, for friends on their tattoo websites or whatever. I was like, masonry is a super cool layout. I love that it's like intrinsically sized images where the rag is on the bottom.
Right? Okay. And let's pause for 1 minute then. Is everybody largely in agreement that we want this on the web? Because there was some nod to like, do we even really need this? I mean, I guess we're...
I think you do. I mean, like Pinterest is like... like basically just a David DeSandro masonry demo, but
yeah, but I hope there's no debate over it. Like, okay, let's just move forward with, yeah, we need this, but yeah, go ahead.
The performance of Pinterest with a bunch of pins on it is brutal. Like it's sluggish. It's hard to resize at a certain point if you get enough pins in there, you know, and I think they're like having to offload a bunch of stuff, you know, kind of like a scroll container or whatever, where they fire things on and off. What's that called?
Yeah, contain intrinsic size and content visibility.
Yeah,
type stuff.
Yeah. They just kind of like pop things on and off and all this stuff, and resizing's bad. But I think like we need a native thing on the platform. And Jen's demos for me are like super compelling. Like, gosh, it's been a while since I've seen a website like that, you know, for good reason, because it's just a lot of JavaScript to pull off. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I loved the intrinsic typography where there was no ellipses anywhere. Because if you've ever researched the hashtag, ellipse is not a content strategy, it's really funny because you see all these cutoff phrases that turn into vulgar. Truncation is not a content strategy. That's a good one. Yeah, no one at Chrome is saying we don't want masonry. That's definitely not the case. And yeah, we love the idea of it. We'd like to see it on the platform. There are performance benefits, of course, because like, yeah, a lot of times people are going to be recreating the Pinterest scenario, which lazy loads content, which means you're constantly injecting stuff into it, which means it constantly is resizing and reflowing. And it's a pretty expensive concept. But so when I originally responded to the concept of masonry, I was just like, whoa, 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 this feels more like Flexbox. There's no shared rows. I mean, the whole concept of a grid is that you got rows and columns. That's its whole thing. And then you have Flexbox that doesn't have rows. It only has one or the two. It's just a single axis thing.
I see. So it feels more like that, even though you are still setting up columns, you're doing it on the parent. I mean, there's some clear differences, but I can see that it kind of ultimately feels more like Flexbox.
Yeah, and that was, for me, my initial reaction was like, it's just not a grid. I love the syntax of grid. Like, there's a lot of really cool ways to describe things in there. And that's where I think we're kind of settling now, is that if we did make a display masonry, it would be some sort of hybrid between Flex and grid, where you have a concept of tracks. So it's not, this is something too I think we should talk about, is tracks and rag. And so RAG, if no one knows this, is like RAG write is a typography term for you write a paragraph, at least in Latin and English. And on the right-hand side, it's very ragged, right? There's no, unless you justify the text.
Where the line breaks is a little arbitrary. Like if the word's too long at the end, it just wraps down to the next one. Whereas on the other side where the line starts, it's a straight line. Because everything is aligned in there, yeah.
Just like how Flexbox works, right? If you do like a tag list and you say, you know, display flex and flex wrap, it's going to rag the items on the right. It's going to look at the intrinsic size of each of the items, just like it would a word, and fold them onto the next line if they didn't fit. At the end, you get a ragged line on the right. It's called rag right. And you can do a masonry layout with Flexbox and create a rag bottom scenario, because that's what masonry is. It's like rag bottom. You know, pack things into these tracks. I want to define three tracks, which is a very grid-like syntax to do. But I want to rag at the bottom, which means there's no rows, which is more like flex. And so we're in this scenario where, like, we want to borrow strategies from both of them. And while grid has a lot of the syntax, it doesn't really have the fundamental underlying bones that are needed for masonry, where Flexbox does have the bones. And so it's like, that's what I wrote in 2020. I was like, hey, I just feel like it fits Flex more. But I do like the syntax is coming in here.
Yeah. And you've gone on, you've said more, right? Like, I think maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it does feel like your general sentiment is as soon as there's no rows, it's not a grid. It's just not, fundamentally, it's not a grid anymore.
Yeah, that's just a hard thing to tell someone, right? I mean, I feel like there's like similarities, like it's 99% the same. So, I mean, yeah, we share 99% of the same DNA with monkeys, but there's a pretty big difference. I feel like there's a lot of comparisons you could say there where, like, just because it's 99% the same doesn't mean you should treat them the same.
Well, in this case, it's not even 99%, right? You've used this other phrase that I think makes sense and I enjoy called, it's a subtractive spec then. And what that has come to mean for me is that, like, because there are no rows anymore, let's say we went with putting this in grid, that there's all these properties in CSS that no longer work at all or work differently. So, like, there's properties as part of the grid spec that say, hey, what row do you want to put this element on? Well, that just totally stops working. And that's a little weird. So that, I think that's what subtractive means. Like now that I've set this one thing one way, this other thing is now meaningless, or it kind of bifurcates the meaning of a property. It's like it does this thing under this situation and this other thing under this other situation, which, you know, can be a difficult thing to teach and understand, which I always will award a point for that. Like a subtractive spec is a bit weird.
It's like in code. I always like it when code tells me what it wants instead of telling me what it doesn't want. It's same thing with my kids. My kids are like, I don't want that for dinner. I'm like, I'm not really interested in what you don't want. I'm interested in what you do want. And so here we are trying to define a grid, and we have to memorize all the things that it can't do once I flip it to masonry. And I'd rather think about display masonry, think about what I can do.
Do you think of those things as mistakes?
Yeah, kind
of. A little
bit.
Because I think of, like, you put a transform on something, all of a sudden position sticky doesn't work. If you have a display inline element, you try to set its width on it, it doesn't work. If you try to absolutely position something, it needs to have the positioning context that you expect, or it may not work at all if it's just position static. There's just all this stuff in CSS that's like, one thing has to be one way for this other thing to work. And it just seems kind of like the nature of CSS. Not that I'm necessarily trying to defend it, but it's like, to bend over backwards to make sure that never happens doesn't seem like a goal that we need to have.
Yeah, I agree. I like your pushback there. It's really healthy to be like, a lot of properties are side effects and a lot of things have no effect. Yeah, you got display in line on something, right? And then your margins don't work in certain directions. So yeah, we've been memorizing exceptions for a while, but I feel like in this particular moment, I'm basically advocating for... I don't think we should just solve masonry. I think there's more to solve. I keep calling it asymmetric bento because we have bento and we can do bento with flex and grid, but they're very symmetrical bento. They're like equal height
bentos. So when you say bento, you mean like it's kind of like a thing that you put food in, but it has different sized containers that are everywhere. Sometimes people think of like the Apple keynotes where they're like, they put how much RAM in one random thing that's big, but they say how many
Florps.
Photos will fit on the disk in one little thing. It's a little bit of a design trend, right? I don't quite get it because it's like it looks just like a grid, but you're spanning arbitrary rows and columns. Like, why is that a different layout.
I don't know. You got like promoted tiles. Yeah, it's like back in Windows 8 days, you'd have these tile hubs, and a hub would have like one tile was bigger than the other one, which is bigger than another one. And it created some visual intrigue and some hierarchy in the titles. But those were also in a grid. Like you'd have a grid, it was like a 4x4 grid, and the first item would span the two rows. And so it'd be really tall. And the next two would sit side by it. And that'd be like a symmetrical bento. But there's a lot of asymmetrical bentos, which is like one of the things I love about Mesa. I keep saying the intrinsic size of things. And I like RAG. I also like intrinsic sizing. And so an asymmetrical bento would be one where the height of that first item isn't spanning two rows. The height of that would be its own height. And then you'd have two other items that are folding into the right in their own side. So it's not going to be a perfect grid. It's going to be an asymmetrical bento. So it still has bento-like
but
properties.
It's not like it's a, so it kind of has rows, but the rows can, I think, Dave, you called it like they can collapse
or
something.
Yeah, zhuzh it up. Just tuck up.
The row is just there. Yeah. I'd like to see us solve more than just the Pinterest layout. Like, I think there's more opportunity.
Is that an argument for breaking this off then? Is that an argument saying, well, let's not smash everything into grid when there's different feelings, like let's have display bento, display masonry, display grid, display whatever.
Yeah. We're looking at like a hybrid scenario, right? This masonry layout, you look at it and you're like, it's part flex box and part grid. You're like, well, then it's kind of needs its own thing. It's going to borrow. So what's cool is we can borrow the syntax and the things that have worked really good from those two layouts and then put them into something new that makes it even more simple, makes the specs simple, makes the implementation simple. And then we memorize this new syntax that's just a combination of these two other things that we know and love. And we get these new sort of layouts with these new features and there's Packery, asymmetrical bento, and this masonry layout and there's probably more. I'd love to see these sort of weirder hybrid layout systems.
And this is coming from you because that's not really part of either what Apple and Google are saying kind of officially, right? Nobody's talking about bento just yet. That's just an Adam thing.
That's correct. Yeah, that's just me. don't sell it all short. I'm like, y'all keep looking further than just these layouts. You know, like the demos that Jen shared are awesome and I love Pinterest layout, but I'm like, the concepts here, I think, extend further and we can solve it in a little bit more of a future-proof way if we just don't solve masonry. But if we look at the rest of the layouts that are difficult to accomplish, yeah.
Well, so in the WebKit demos, they actually have that newspaper one, kind of like a, so it's different size blocks and they have different heights and they all kind of funnel into the right places at the right times and stuff like that. And that's another point too, is like it's all kind of responsive, right? Like it's all this stuff should kind of just lay out based on its own size, you know? That's pretty cool. Like it adds a bit of a Wild West, like who knows where that block's going to show up in the final screen, you know, on your computer, but it is this kind of, you know, web nature of like, well, if I basically set importance by size, like small things are less important, bigger things are more important, then hopefully it all shakes out fine. But they had the syntax on that demo in particular, which I was surprised to see, was grid template rows off, which is basically like just turn off grid template rows.
Right. And then I was attracted to that because it meant that you didn't have, then we could stop saying the M word. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to name it at all.
Well, and they do have masonry as well.
Grid template rows off. That's it.
But that creates the kind of columnar layout, you know, like the, what I think Adam and Google are calling tracks.
Well, a couple of things. So, you know, to circle back to Adam's thing about like saying that it could be a new display type because then it opens the door for even more other display types. There's a couple of things there. One of them is a strength of that is that they can evolve on their own. And CSS has proven, I think, when it kind of split into modules that all evolve independently, I think everybody would consider that a success, right?
Totally, yeah.
So if that's a success, then isn't it nice to keep things like smaller in their own little boxes that evolve independently? That's cool. I'm going to throw a wild card here on the like, so there's already Flexbox. And there's already another thing that nobody uses called columns. I won't say nobody, but I feel like it's pretty underused.
Yeah, glad you're bringing this up. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thing that makes tracks, but it's kind of famously underpowered, right? You can't have one track be half the width of the other track. It's just like they're equal size. Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. And even spanning stuff across two of them isn't really a thing, I don't think. Or if it is, it's, I don't know. I didn't know that. Or it's, I don't, I expect it's going to behave poorly. Anyway, but it is a thing, right? And you've been able to do it for absolutely ages. And let's say I had 50 cards. I could put 50 cards in a parent that have columns on them and set up the columns such that it'll spread the cards out amongst those columns. And it's like, done? You can even say like, you know, on any given card, you can say like, don't break in between a column. There's some thing to make sure that the cards all go together. In a way, it's kind of like, cool, that's literally Pinterest layout. It's exactly Pinterest layout. We've absolutely done it. They use equal width columns, for the record, so it solves their use case. But it has this one failing. The failing is that the way that it's tabbed through goes down a column and then up to column two and then down column two and then over to column three. And as far as I understand it, that is considered some holy sin.
Well,
that can never
if
be.
You have 7,000 items in three, or let's say 6,000 items in three columns, you would have to go down 2,000 items to get to the 2,001th item. You know, like it wouldn't zigzag across the page. Yeah. You'd have to like go down a mile to get to the second column.
So even that, in that extreme circumstance, I still am like, but is that? So let's say you're a visual, like a sighted visual mouse using person like we are. Not a problem. Not that that's an excuse. I'm just laying out the scenarios. Or let's say you're a screen reader user entirely. Both of those situations, it doesn't matter. Because who cares where the visual
is? It is a big unordered list. So you're right there. But more content's going to load in. And so then you're going to get a big old reflow, right? Like if we load another 6,000, they don't just tack on to the last column. It would reflow all the columns, you know? Like,
oh, is that a bad situation too? But okay, so let's say that that's bad, right? Like the holy sin is true. It's bad news. An alternative is that it starts to kind of, you go from left to right instead. Like you visit the first one in each column as you tab through it. And then you go to the second one in each column and you tab through that. Like the further you go down, like the crazier hockey puckier that's going to get.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
And like, why is that better? That also seems bad. And like, I wish somebody would just tell me like, no, that's bad. It's a holy sin and we're doing it. We're hockey pucking it. Hockey puck is better. Period. You know? I'm just not convinced that hockey puck is definitely
hockey
better.
Hockey puck is better. No, I had questions about this, and I pulled up the Safari demo to see what was going on. You know, and you know what? I'm not seeing the same thing I saw the other day. So now I'm confused. So the way I understand Safari's like tab algorithm to work is it basically sorts all elements in the masonry, the grid, by their Y coordinate, right? So
their vertical,
like where it appears, placement. Yeah, on the block axis, Y coordinate,
offset top or whatever. Yeah,
and then it, if two have the same number there, it goes by X. So like it's like, are you left to the left or the right? And basically, you know, based on your reading order or whatever. That becomes, so zero on the x-axis is number one, 1,000 on the x-axis is number two, and 1,500 is number three. So it is hockey pucky. I love that we have this term now. It's a hockey puck for sure, but like I see what they did there. It does create a bit of a confusing thing when like your left, right are maybe like 50 pixels off. I wish there's like some tolerance there or something. Like I have the Safari demo on my like big screen here, 1440p screen. And this is the newspaper one. I'm specifically talking about the interaction between number 14 and number 13. And it's just this like weird skip where number 14's to the left and number 13, but number 13 comes before it. And
it's just that's the way it is, man. It follows the algorithm, follows the algorithm. So be it. Right?
So, but hey, I'm not, I don't know. It's not awful, I guess, is what I want to say.
But so that's a solution for one situation. But let's go back to a really simple flex box scenario. There's four boxes. They don't even wrap. They're on the same row. You could take the fourth box and say order equals zero on it, or order, you know, apply zero to the order property of it. It goes to be the first thing in the list. And we're also told never do that. Never do it. It's just one of those CSS anti-patterns, and you don't do it because now the source order and the visual order are wrong, meaning you'll tab through it in this very awkward way that's like hockey pucky times two. It's like extra bad. It goes to the end of the line. You get it. You tab to the last thing in the list, and then all of a sudden the first thing is highlighted. Super bad, right? That's been, I feel like there's been rumors of trying to solve that at a higher level. Yep. At a level of like, could you set something like tabbing order visual on that parent? And that way it will tab through 1, 2, 3, 4, regardless of what order you set, which sounds like, hey, that's wonderful. High five. Please solve it at that level. And if that's the case, can we just use that same property then in masonry or anything else? You know, like just put tabbing order visual on the dang body element. And then reorder as your heart pleases.
Yeah, Rachel Andrew's been pretty key in articulating these, like the problem space, the solutions.
Nice.
And they've got great articles on, yeah, how to, what the spec is, what the proposal is, and how to get your visual order to match your reading order. Yeah, it's a big problem space. I'm curious too with like determining the tab order, does it work also with right to left? Like if I do like a logical directionality, or even can I do masonry like top to bottom, right to left, and do like a really cool, you know, traditional Chinese masonry layout? That'd be rad. And then does the tab order get fixed appropriately for those also? That'd be super cool.
I would think it would, right? But yeah.
You'd want it to, certainly. It would seem like a bug if it didn't. But just to round it out, it's like if you had if you said the CSS column spec then could have different size columns, you adjusted that spec, and you said tabbing order visual, check, dude, you've done it. You don't need masonry anymore because you have it with CSS columns and tabbing order visual.
Mm-hmm.
Like you literally could just stop and not do
but
masonry.
But you don't get the rag or the intrinsic sizing. You'd have to
you
have
do
some
get rag.
Sort of...
Don't you automatically get rag at the bottom of the columns?
You do in a flexbox one, but not a
columns
one.
Tries to.
Oh, CSS columns.
Tries,
oh, yeah.
No, okay, but that tries out. To even out all the columns. You might get a short third column.
Well, now when you have to set a height on it, so like this is the condition with flexbox and CSS columns to get a masonry like scenario is you have to clamp the height so that it knows where
otherwise
to start
it won't
wrapping.
Wrap. Yeah,
otherwise
exactly.
It won't wrap. Exactly. So that the problem there is it's not really intrinsic anymore unless somehow you can magically predict. You know, given three columns of 25 cards, you know, the height is approximately this. And then Flexbox can be like, oh, okay, I can, you know, once I hit the bottom of this height, I would wrap onto the next.
That would be nice. It does seem unlikely.
So, yeah, that's what's nice about masonry. It's just all intrinsic.
I think it's better than the hacks we've been doing. And I think, so I do think we need something. So I'm looking at the museum demo from WebKit, and they actually have, like, the navigation on the right, which is pretty experimental. But, you know, it's cool because it's like, oh, man, that's different, you know? So that's, like, the number one slot, and I don't know how it's placed there, but it is. So you go down through the nav, but then when you're going through items, you focus on the image and then the title to get more details, right? Image, title, and it for the first row, it goes along just great, just image, title, image, title, image, title. But now we're past the top row of items, and the tabbing is just kind of hockey pucking, very bad. It's very like, because the image heights can be different. So like the link is, it's basically all based on like the card top and like not necessarily the link that I'm looking for is top. So it's just, it's hockey pucking big time. So we have a good term now to describe this hockey pucking, and it needs to be very popular.
Well, wait, did y'all ever play Peggle?
Oh yeah, Peggle for sure.
Have you ever been pegged?
I'm kind of like, this is like Peggle, you know, you drop a peg in the top. It's like, where's my tab going to start? I don't know. And it just starts bouncing across all these pegs until it gets to
for
the bottom.
Sure. Yeah. Plinko. Is it like, beep, 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 beep. Prizes.
Well, this looks kind of fun, actually. I want to, how can I download Peggle?
So, hey, dude, it's interesting. It's not, it's not the, I don't know. This is a tough experience, but maybe the tab order can solve this better than the packing order. Does that make sense? Like maybe the packing algorithm and the tabbing algorithm are different jobs, different initiatives. So
yeah, that would be an interesting thing for the spec. So maybe this is like a CSS working group issue. This sounds like a perfect thing for them to discuss. It's like, is it Masonry Layout's responsibility to fix tab order? Or is it a CSS property that can be applied generically to anything so that the visual order matches the tab order? That way it's out of Masonry's responsibility in the layout engine, and it can kind of pack as it needed to. Yeah.
Do those conversations say well, we agree that a higher level fix would be cool, but that seems unlikely to ship as soon as an M word type layout could ship?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool butts happen.
To browser vendors that are there and they're like, yeah, I love that, but that feels like 2 years of work or something, and we'd like to ship this sooner than that.
It depends on how much pressure the community puts. Like Rachel was putting out there trying to solve this with, reading order, matching visual order, and was kind of ringing a gong a little bit and didn't get a bunch of people jumping on to rally. And I think if we rallied, we could kind of like this Masonry call. That was what was cool about WebKit. One of my favorite things. Hey, WebKit, y'all, I love that y'all are out here like showcasing something fresh, introducing it, and being a part of this like advanced pushing of what's possible. Super cool. And I really love that. Just wanted to share that. I appreciate them doing that. It's refreshing.
Yeah, my question is, feel like the situation we're in, the situation that we're in is, are we seeking theoretical purity? Like, do we want the purely pure thing, or like, should we just take the thing we have and it's kind of half implemented in Firefox too? Like, what time scales are we talking? If we want to do display Masonry, the Chrome proposal, what's the time scale to do that versus like, well, Safari's already kind of figured it out.
That's a good question. Like, there's a possibility that the reason WebKit is pushing for Grid is because it might be, I don't know this, I have no idea, but maybe it's because it's easier, right? Maybe it's like, maybe some work's already been done and they're like, yeah, let's slap it in Grid because we can ship that like next week, you know?
Well, yeah, it was like a perfect prototype scenario, right? Like all the syntax is there. All they had to do was ignore rows, ignore grid template columns, ignore grid auto flow, ignore all the different placement properties that no longer work because there's no rows,
So for any browser, it would be easier to ship to just leave it in grid. Yeah.
I think so. But what I've seen over the past couple of years is initially I was like frustrated that like at scroll timeline got pushed back and got turned into something else. We watched view transitions get pushed back. We've watched anchor get pushed back. We've watched a lot of like specs that we felt pretty good about our first version, and different teams would push back, and it's always made a better spec. And so I'm like, even though we have a cool prototype right now,
let's go slower now.
Well, not necessarily slower, but it's like, hey, there's no rush. I mean, Masonry came out on Firefox like 6 years ago, and it really didn't massively take off. We have a really good JavaScript version that seems to be quite sufficient, except for reading order. I'm like, let's do it right. Let's conquer more than just the one that's at the tip of our nose. We'll get performance in there. We'll get a nice hybrid spec that's kind of adaptive and uses the best parts from everything instead of using only some parts. It just feels like this platform isn't the right spot to be taking a whole chunk of code and then being like, let's only use part of it here. But I could be way off there. It just feels like I'd like to see us solve more than just this. And in a really good, reliable way that we can lean on in the future. Because, yeah, I think we're going to be pushing its performance potentials, especially as we have, like, multiple tracks of different sizes with intrinsic items. Like, we're asking for a pretty expensive layout scenario here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just saying display Masonry extends display grid, override areas, return null. I mean, that's all it is. It's like a week of work.
Awesome. It's a class extension. Yeah.
It's just classic object oriented programming. It takes a week.
Are you telling me, browser, you can't lay out a Masonry layout, but you can 60 frame per second let me shoot things in the head for 5 hours?
I read that post. Is it? That's the Is that the Dan Liu post?
That's Eric's scrolling at 60 frames per second or whatever. He's like, yeah, the browser is a game engine, but somehow it's like laying out documents is way harder than actually like drawing 3D and scroller. Doing, you know, depth maps.
Well,
first person scroller.
Dan Liu had that post, I think it's Dan Liu, but about like how all these phones can like run Fortnite, but like can't run a web page with React.
It's funny because it's not funny.
It's funny because I cry at the when I read a blog post. So I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. Slow device. There it is.
You know, unfortunately, because this is a recorded audio program, that this is going to evolve rather quickly. So, you know, we're prepared to be embarrassed by, you know, news that comes out tomorrow in regard to this. But it seems like now Apple's got to say something to lean into the drama a little bit. And I can imagine, I don't think it's likely, but I can imagine a scenario where Apple sees what Rachel has written on behalf of Google and just says, oh, you can do all that stuff that we laid out in that post? Okay, sounds good. You know, like that's a possible response they could have, right? Because it seems like a lot of what Jen is saying is like, look at this stuff that I want to do. This is so cool. Please let me do this stuff. And it seemed like you couldn't do it with some other display type. And Google's saying, no, you can totally do all that stuff. That'll be fine. That'd be great. We can totally do that. I even wrote like, oh, that's, you know, a little follow up to my feedback where I said like, well, I assume we'd lose a few things, right? Like maybe we wouldn't have Subgrid because that doesn't seem as quite the same because you're only inheriting in one direction. It seems a little more unusual. And Tab at Google weighed in with like, nope, we'll have that too. So it's kind of like you lose literally nothing with making it a different display type. So it's like, what do we expect Apple to say to that? Are they still going to say like, well, it's still better in Grid? Like they're really pushed against the wall here. So their response is going to be weird.
Yeah, I'm interested. It's like there's one big function that does this layout and they're pitching to continue adding more code to the function. And we're like, but we can make a separate function, does all the same stuff, but then we won't have to manage all the code forks and all the ignored properties. And, you know, we can solve just it instead of unsolve it in other ways.
But they didn't say the reason we want this is because it's easier to ship or because they said because we want to use the power of Grid in it. And if the response is you can do all that same stuff with this other thing, it just seems like I don't know what there is to say about that. Not that like the Google's 100% right and they're wrong. I don't know. Heart of hearts, I don't care because I kind of care about like being able to create a cool layout and seems like I can do that either way. And whichever way this shakes out, I'm like, cool, I'm the winner. So, you know, hash this out, everybody. Good luck. Don't care.
Yeah, I like that mentality. I'm a little impartial too. And I'm kind of being purist about there's no rows. Yeah. That's just because that's the way I've always thought about how to teach it. You know, it's just like if you need rows and things to fit in it and columns, it's like that's Grid. It's just phenomenal at that. And if you don't need that anyway, but I love that there's this hybrid. I think that there is tons of syntax crossover. One of the other reasons that like people are, so by the way, the CSS working group is leaning towards it being a separate display value. So WebKit's going to have to also manage the working groups kind of leaning that way. And that could also change at any time. So who knows?
They were hoping for a little public sentiment in which to sway that. Probably, yeah.
But some people have been like, what about if I have it, it's responsive and I want it to be two columns, you know, on mobile and then on tablet, it starts turning into a masonry layout. It'd be nice if it was display grid the whole time and I didn't have to toggle a display property and some columns and some other stuff. Like they want to have some shared attributes amongst a responsive application of masonry. And my initial gut reaction was like, well, wait, custom properties. You can just stash, like if the repeats and the, you know, track definitions can be shared amongst display masonry and display grid, I'm like, then you just kind of tuck these things into custom properties and then you're just flipping a few values.
That's a cool use case for it. I always thought a good strength of those was that they can represent a part of a value instead of the whole value. That's pretty neat. My little purist thing, like you have, your purist thing is like the, you know, turning off rows makes it not a grid or whatever yours is. Mine is like, can we stop adding stuff to display, which might not be a a right thing, but it always annoyed me that display none is part of the display spec, which is a very different concern. That means don't show it anymore. I don't like that. It bites me all the time that I have to I was playing with pop-ups. Brand new thing. Everybody shipped it, getting lots of claps, right? Let's say you want your pop-up to be display flex. What do you write on it, your pop-up? Display flex, right? Guess what makes all your pop-ups show up on your stupid page? Because they're not display none anymore. So it's obnoxious.
They're toggling display.
Why is that?
I know. It's really annoying.
It's overloaded as a property. It should be like layout. Waterfall. Waterfall is a better word. Let's use waterfall.
Ooh, nice. Okay, Chris, I'll write this down for you and I's secret syntax for writing for the new advanced version of CSS that's like simpler and it's the good parts. CSS, the good parts.
CSS new. Why not hidden true and just match friggin' HTML? Sorry, revolutionary concept.
Ooh, nice.
Friggin' jeeps. I'm going to nitpick Chrome's. Here. Mm. Okay. Display masonry-template-tracks. What the F am I looking at? Like, why are we inventing a new keyword? I've heard you say tracks a few times, but like, why not just columns? You know what I mean?
Well, grid has tracks also. It has grid lines.
But we don't, and, but when I set my columns in grid, I don't say grid template tracks. I say grid template columns.
Yeah, the spec is annoying because I think the spec calls them tracks, even though the syntax we write calls them columns.
Everyone is fired. I'm not.
Well, tracks are nice because they're not axis dependent. A column is very specifically a vertical track. But a track can be a row track. So it's a generic, it's a more abstract way to talk about
lanes. But that was on purpose because they,
lanes.
Right? A grid doesn't turn with the reading layout. They stay columns even when you go change the reading mode, don't they?
Ooh, there you go.
But it's just nice to talk about the concept of rows and columns as tracks.
Yeah, but masonry would turn with the reading mode probably because it's one dimensional. That's probably why it is a different word. Although I do like Dave firing everybody. Let's start.
Oh yeah, I hope so.
There.
Yeah, to like change its direction.
My nitpick on it is like don't say the performance word. We have been told so many times that you can't do this thing in CSS because performance. And then they shipped has, and then we're told you can't have it because this is performance. And then we got container queries.
And,
you're like, just don't even say it. Somebody's gonna go to sleep and wake up some morning and be like, oh, I know how we solve it, and then they'll solve it, and then we can have it. Like It's like the wolf who cried performance doesn't land with me anymore.
I agree. Yeah, that was the biggest thing on Twitter. People going against the argument. They're like, you even saying that there's a performance implication makes me just want to choose grid because we're so tired of having to worry about that. You know, just like, that's not a valid to most people. They're just like you. They're like, we don't care. You've already told us that enough times and then rescinded. So we don't trust you.
Well, it's a thing. But yeah, you do hear it
very
once
fair. Masonry template tracks. I like it though, because it fits my mental model, but yeah,
I can support your proposal if you change it to masonry template columns and then I'm in. But that's the one, this whole thing where every time we invent something new, we invent like new verbs or nouns, I guess, but it drives me wild. Anyway,
I like that min max will come along for the ride. Isn't that only work in grid at the moment? Like, we don't have you can't use min max the same way you can use clamp and stuff, right? There's no, you have min and max and clamp, but min max is not one you can use.
I like that adoption. I think the syntax from grid, while very confusing to beginners, it's turned off a lot of people. They're like, this is complex. Look at the nested functions. You got repeat, autofit, min max. You're just like, geez, Louise. But it is super powerful and it's a great algorithm. It's great for, defining something that's responsive. So I'm glad we stuck with that. I don't like that it's display masonry. I'm like, that to me means we're only going to solve the one use case. And I'm like, no, there's packery.
Yeah.
There's these asymmetric bentos where I want, intrinsic box-like layouts that are sort of lopsided.
What I like about the bento thing is, because I think you're a fan of rag, right? And I'm not like I'm not anti-rag, but I do want to not rag sometimes in a way, even in a way that I would cede control to the layout engine to like make choices to not rag. It just has come up to me with me recently where I just have like, just think of a left column and a right column where on the left is like big blog posts and on the right is small blog posts. And when you get, and if you like display five of both, the chance of those like ending anywhere near each other is so low.
You're going to have one huge dingleberry.
There's
going to
be a huge dingleberry. And it's like, can you fix it somehow? Like just notch up the font size or something.
They're no longer called typographic orphans. They're called typographic just dingleberries. Thank you very much. I want to go ahead and take that and run.
A dangler. We could go, that's the PG version, a dangler.
But yeah, what you're describing is why Display Flex stretches them by default, which is
right.
Is it funny.
Doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to fight the right rag in Flexbox, but it's not, it's never easy to fight the bottom rag because height is just like fundamentally different in CSS.
Yep.
Height is just...
Yeah, it's like we want the rag and we want
the... You don't mess
tuck.
With height. But you do mess with height if it only gets bigger. You know, like how like, you know, align content stretch or whatever. It's happy to make everything bigger.
Yeah, min block size is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Min block size can work. But yeah, I don't know. Fix bottom rag for me. But you just saying the word bento feels like, well, bento boxes aren't rag ever. They're always... All four sides are nicely shaped. So
yes, they always fit into a box. Yeah.
I wonder if like background image, remember that guy? Background image, does that help? You know, like maybe you just have like a little filler pattern in
repeat
the bottom
masonry.
There,
yeah.
And that just kind of adds some vibes or some empty squares or
I
circles.
I think it's time for the yearly tweet about background repeat round. I feel like nobody, everybody forgets that and then is surprised once a year to learn that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clutching the border image property.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we've picked on it. Do we pick on everybody equally?
I think so.
I don't know. I know we didn't have Apple on and we didn't have either Jen or Rachel on, despite them have been on this show before, but this came from just like, we are discording it up and we are like 80 messages deep when we're like, we should probably do the podcast. You know?
So the Safari demos are incredibly compelling. They're very cool to see. Like I saw that newspaper one specifically and I was like, that is fresh. I haven't seen that in a long time. And I would just love to see the New York Times looking like that or something like that, you know? And even just the idea, I can just like paratroop a block that is ultra big and it just fits and everyone else says, oh, I'll adjust to that guy, you know, the big boy in the town. That is cool to me. I would like that. So I'm kind of like on team whatever gets this done, you know. But I think I agree with Chrome. Like, let's at least take a breath and make sure we do it right, you know, before we kind of yeet it out into cyberspace. So
yeah, I mean that's what people are saying too. And we'll see what reality is. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, this can do everything that Grid can do. And then if you say that and then it gets public sentiment going that way and then we're a year into it and they're like, well, except for these three things, we're going to be like, but you said it could do everything Grid could do. God damn it. You know?
Yeah. The rug pull. No one likes the overpromise, underdeliver. Yeah. That's the no. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I do love the Safari though. Put the fire under this again. Like that was cool. Bring these things to the surface. Let's discuss them and get them in the platform.
Cool. Should we do the shop talk thing where I put the day we're recording this is May 2nd. It should go out May 6th, which is just, it's pretty fast for a lot of podcasts, I feel like, and just in a little slow for hot news, you know? I'm always surprised at the YouTubers who can get out just great videos like on the day. You're like, God, what were you doing? You woke up and you didn't even know that was a news thing. And now there's
you have a video editor in Poland who
just crushes it. Yeah.
Works on the other.
But I'll put May 2nd, 2025 on the old calendar and we'll check in and see how's Grid layout doing or how's the M word. I have to write masonry. I have to, otherwise I'll forget.
I do think we have a claim chowder coming up. I was looking through my, let's see.
Come on. What is it? I have to know.
On May 17th of 2024, Andy Bell, I'm assuming, because it just says Andy, says client-side frameworks will be completely redundant by May 17th, 2024. It's coming up. So let Andy know.
Client-side frameworks of any kind? Maybe it was really hot on web components. I wonder what the...
Maybe. When did we create this? I don't know that answer either. I don't have that data, but
anyway. Yeah, I guess we should probably put a little metadata on our claim chowders.
But no, this is interesting. I think this is a cool direction for the web. It would be nice to have some fresh demos. I think
I want people to overuse it. I want to be sick of this layout.
I was wondering, maybe we need help from the CodePen army to make some demos of cool shit you can do, and then like just see, like push the limits. Let's try to find a limit before we like ship it in a browser, you know, like that would be cool.
Can help, so, can do somehow.
Even if the syntax changes, that changes. But like, let's just have a play.
Yeah, so. Go wreck it, go demo it, go have some fun, break things.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show. For people who aren't following you and giving you money, how can they do that?
They can give money to a local charity that they enjoy, whether it's helping out goats or people learn to code or whatever it is. Put your money there. I don't need it. I'm on social networks, but mostly just go to my website, nerdy.dev. You'll find links to other social networks, and that's where I kind of centralize my juiciest posts. You'll get nonsense on Blue Sky, but
yeah. Well, and it's worth a follow. Your blog always has like, it's stuff you tweet, but it's like, if you're not on that day, you miss it, you know, but you have like some really awesome, cool web tech that's coming up. So, and a lot of like Bramus demos and stuff like that too. So anyway, it's very good. So thank you very much for posting that stuff. So
yeah, thanks for reading.
And thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher choice. Be sure to start our favorite episode if you find out about a show. Follow us on Mastodon. That's where we hang out. And then join us over in the Discord where we actually hang out. That's patreon.com/shoptalkshow. And Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
Shoptalkshow.com.